Welcome back to the Thought Arcade. Today we talk about a bunch of random stuff and how the privatization of space racing is going.
Yeah. And then my wife was like, hey, can we join?
I struggled saying that word in my head. Yeah. Like, as I was listening, I struggled to say that.
Yeah, so I was like, I told Emily what the topic was about. She was like, what are y'all going to talk about today? And I was like, Elijah said, the SpaceX program and the privatization of space exploration. And she was like, I'm pretty like under a rock right now. Can I come join? That was great. So here she is. This is my wife.
You're going to be educated.
Dude, hi. Yeah. We're always down to have you, Emily.
Thanks.
So it was a great time.
I know. I need to get a way to get Val on here.
Yeah.
So we can talk about.
That is a goal.
Stop keeping her in the spare bedroom and like.
Lock her up in the other bedroom.
It's been 2 weeks, man.
Elijah just keeps her in the dungeon.
Yeah.
Don't tell her I said that. Don't tell her I said that.
The married life dungeon.
Oh God.
Thanks, Chris.
So how it's been 2 weeks, right? Or just roughly 2 weeks. So
2 weeks.
That's crazy, man. Time is flying.
I know.
It's like it's already crazy. Your anniversary, dude.
Yeah.
It's really basically is. Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary, dude. Happy 2 week anniversary.
Thank you.
Okay. So I wanted to tell you guys. So real quick, before we had started recording, I had sent you guys a text message saying I might get CTE.
So you got drain damage is what we got.
So CTE is essentially just brain damage. So I've been doing this like kickboxing and I've been like trying to train to be a professional MMA fighter.
You're cutting weight for a real fight.
So today, earlier this morning, actually, right before we were recording, I went to class. We had it with this guy who's an actual fighter. So he trained us today. But today, usually we just do drills. Today, he was like, we're going to do a few drills, spend like 15, 20 minutes on drills, and then we're going to spar. And I said, wait, what? Hold on. What?
Not ready.
But I was feeling confident. So I was like, all right, you know what? I've been doing this for like a month. Like I've been going every day. Like I'm feeling good. I got the technique kind of down and I can take a hit. So we do the drill. We start sparring. The very first guy, everybody's bigger than me also. So I'm going to go ahead and throw that out there. First guy I spar, probably about 6 foot.
Yeah. Hey, the big bigger dude. They are. The harder they fall, right?
Yeah.
Is that how it goes?
Yeah.
If and the you harder can hit they hit you, too.
Yeah.
They forgot to add, like, you have to hit them hard. Like, you also do have to do some damage. So we were going at it, and he was like, all right, do you want a tech spar, which is just kind of like technique sparring? So it's like all open palm stuff or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or do you want to actually spar? So you'll actually sparring, you can go from like 50 to 100%, depending on the person.
And you said actual spar.
excuse my language. My dumbass said, dude, let's spar. Let's do it.
Let's go.
That's first, it, dude. That's
first
it.
Shot.
You're so optimistic.
Shot. Dude, I was like feeling good about this. Well, up until today. Yeah. I go for a cross or like a jab and he reads it and comes in just straight boom. Ooh. In my face. And I'm just like, whoa, what happened? But the thing is when you're sparring, you can't stop. You have to keep going. Like
yeah.
You just
yeah.
have to take it and go. I stopped.
But you're
I froze.
Shock.
I didn't know what to do. I was in shock. So then he did that, and then he followed up with like a body kick.
Uh-huh.
And so that was how the first time went. So then I sparred with someone else. And the next person was probably about my height. It was really fun. It was really cool. He was like teaching me things. And like the last minute or so, he was like, all right, now let's go harder. And I was like, hold on, wait, let's not do that. He didn't give me time to answer. Also, I have a mouthpiece in, so it's like hard to talk and hard to like panic.
Because then you're like, no.
And so we're going, and like this one, I'm like taking the hits well, and I'm feeling confident, and I start to loosen up a little bit. And then he goes two hooks to like the head. And so my head is just doo-doo. And I'm just like, I don't want to be here anymore, guys.
I want to go home.
Where's my mommy? So today was probably the most rough class I've ever had because I got hit in the head a lot. But it was fun.
Oh, that was
overall,
just today?
It's fun.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was just it.
Well,
most of the time we're like on bags and like on like pads or whatever. Or if we're like sparring with someone else, it's super easy.
Yeah,
because it's like you're not like hitting, but these guys are like actually going hard, which is fine. You kind of have to like spar and go harder, I just feel like I came in a little overconfident.
You gotta get your feet wet somehow.
Yeah, so. But yeah, I feel like this was a good experience. But that's why I was like, I was kidding when I was like, there's a good chance I might have St. E. Because yeah. I was just taking hits to the head.
Today. Well, if you smell burnt toast through the podcast, just let us know, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
We see
yeah.
you start drifting. Dude,
yeah,
we
started smelling. Like, and we're gonna call 911.
Start doing like the Dwight symptoms whenever he ran his car. You know, like he just started having a hand up. You know?
I just get out and just throw up like that.
We'll call for a wellness check on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. The only thing is I do smell like dry blood up in here, but I can't tell if that's allergies or because I got punched. So.
Yeah. Do you smell dry blood for allergies?
Yeah. Well, my nose bleeds a lot when I like sleep during allergies. So I like always have like dry blood in there that I like have to like pick out or whatever. But I smell it. And I don't know it's from allergies or this time getting punched in the face.
Well, this is good. We'll be keeping an eye on you.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is good.
That's why I was super excited because I was like, well, Andrew's not here, so I need someone to monitor me.
We need Val. We need Val to get on just to watch, just to keep an eye on.
Exactly. Yeah.
Just the doctor on hand.
All right. What else y'all got? Any other updates? Life updates?
Elijah said he has something.
So I have an update regarding my. Alma mater, my all mother, all giving mother, Citadel, and the current commandant of cadets, a guy named Captain Palauso, the former Navy SEAL. He is not renewing his contract, so he's leaving at the end of the academic year, and this is in lieu of our school is run by something called the Board of Visitors. Like every school has one, like you know. Board of whatever, ours is called the Board of Visitors. And so we've already had
haunting. It sounds Board like a scary visitors? Movie.
Yeah.
Board of Visitors.
That does. So real quick, can you explain like what this person does?
So the Commandant of Cadets, or the Commandant of the Corps of Cadets, he's the top man who runs the entire Corps of Cadets at the school. So everything comes through his office. Everything that deals with the Corps of Cadets itself, like in regards to, you know, drill, in regards to cadre training, anything that has a Corps of Cadet related issue, he's in charge of it. And so him and his most likely his entire administration is going away, which personally, which I graduated, I think a year after he came in. And I'm glad he left.
That's what I was actually just about to ask. So what impact does this have going forward then? Like why would it be considered so huge?
So the reason why it's so big is because a lot of things have come out about like the morale of the Corps and what he's doing in terms of discipline. Like he's being really, really harsh against upperclassmen compared to freshmen. His office typically takes the route of we're canceling this sort of event, like we're canceling field day, we're canceling, you know, these sort of activities, and it negatively reflects the Corps of Cadets. And he has been incredibly strict, like taking away cadet leave, which we already don't have any leave to begin with. Like we can leave on the weekends and that's it. And if you start taking stuff like that away, you're going to damage the Corps morale. And his leadership style was not effective, in my opinion.
Oh, okay.
Just very overbearing, very directly involved, didn't want the Corps to handle itself, which is always a two-way street because the Corps doesn't handle itself sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
And so he cut a bunch of stuff. And then he implemented, along with the Board of Visitors, who are going to get it voted out, it's something called a sophomore shuffle. So whenever your matriculation day, you go into a company. Like I went into Kilo Company in 3rd Battalion on my first day.
Kilo?
And you stay in that company your entire cadet career.
Yeah.
Except for this year when the commandant said, we're going to start doing something called a sophomore shuffle, where the sophomores that just spent their entire freshman year in a company are now going to get dispersed throughout other companies for no reason. They're weird. Just doing it. So you're going to kill company tradition
real quick.
You're going to go to the esprit de corps of those companies, and it's going to have a tremendously negative influence on these cadets going forward. You know, like
is that something that happens? Like the dispersion of companies? Like, is that a common thing?
No, it's not a common thing.
You gotta like the only true reason why you would leave
your company is for a disciplinary reason, or for a promotion into a higher position. Which typically you're gonna see most of them stay within their battalion. There's four companies to a battalion. Mm-hmm. You're most likely gonna see them stay unless they go off to like the regimental corps and stuff like that. So it's not typical to go and change companies. And this guy's doing that. So like Kilo Company has a very specific tradition and they have a very specific salute to their officers. And then you're going to put in all of these new sophomores from around, which are, they're worse than freshmen are sophomores. I mean, everyone goes through a sophomore slump. It's horrible. Well,
that's what sophomore means, right? It's like,
yeah, it's like they don't need to be
something lame.
Yeah, like sophomoric means like lame.
Yeah, and so
like follow themselves, but like don't have to know what's going
from
on.
Like a different company, like Papa Company or Papa. The Palmetto Battery, and you're gonna have them come in and be in Kilo. Like the juniors and seniors aren't going to accept those sophomores because they don't know the traditions and they don't know how that particular culture operates.
I mean, isn't that the point of the freshman year, though? Is that's to what I'm learn saying. All exactly. that stuff? So you're going to have, like, two freshman years?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was about to say.
Yeah, that was one of the arguments. And several programs, like Save the Cid is one of these programs. They read a bunch of letters. They've been in talks with the Board of Visitors and Commandant's Office, and they're still going to keep going with this. It is going to cost them all their jobs. Ugh. So we already see one Board of Visitors already resigning, and the Commandant's now, you know, not going to renew and going to leave. Mm-hmm. So we have a first-year president now and a four-star Marine general. So we'll see what happens.
What's the turnaround time for, like, finding a new Commandant? Like, because it's – what is it now?
He's serving October, his
– like, middle of the school year.
He's serving his the rest of the academic year.
Oh,
but they're already going to start putting together a panel to look for a new commandant.
Gotcha.
So
they'll most likely have one by the end of the school year. Then they should be.
Yeah,
fine.
Yeah. No, there has to be a zero turnaround, especially when it comes to a chain of command. Like, there's always somebody there.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what they do. Since it's a public school, they'll put out that information of the candidates. And the alumni and Board of Visitors both get to vote, so we'll see what happens. And I would say I'm optimistic about this change because I think it needs to happen. Yeah. And so we'll see going forward.
Aren't you glad you didn't have to have that, like, switching from Kilo, like basically another freshman year? Like, we already heard about how horrible your freshman year was, and
yeah, like it defeats the purpose of even having a knob year if you're gonna just change companies. Like, why am I learning this command structure? You know, why do I get to know all of my peers? They're all gonna get dispersed anyways. Like, it defeats the purpose.
Yeah,
there's no esprit de corps in that.
Yeah.
What's the motive for the sophomore shuffle? Like, what's
the motive is to get?
Yeah, that's true.
Is to like help crack down on, like, hazing and stuff like that, and then he wants to get rid of, like, company tradition. Like,
why?
Like, Kilo operates differently than everybody else. Like Alpha Company operates differently than everyone else. You know, like, they
everybody acts uniquely.
Yeah, and they all have their own different, you know, their different salute for the officers, just a different culture overall. Like, mm-hmm. Palmetto Battery, before not too long ago, was like, that's where all the honors students went. Like, they were in there, so like they're geared toward like academic success, and they have rigorous academics, you know, like that's what they do, you know. And then like First Battalion typically has the highest percentage of athletes, like student athletes, so you know they get picked on a lot because they have student athletes there, and it just operates differently. And it's hard to explain it, but when you take that away, like, that culture gets eroded and degrades, you know? And
he's wanting to level it out.
Yeah, because he wants to, like, unify the core into one continuous being. And that's not even how the real military operates either.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
Like, you get assigned into different divisions that have different histories. You get assigned into different battalions and different task force and stuff like that. But he's a Navy SEAL, and each SEAL team operates differently.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
Like, there's like SEAL Team 6 is like the big badass of all the SEAL teams.
Yeah,
you know,
that's why there's
so
six of them.
They operate different.
They all do different stuff.
Yeah, they operate differently than SEAL Team 4 or SEAL Team 5. It's
right.
And I don't see the real purpose of why he does it.
Yeah.
So, but it's gonna cost him his job. It's gonna cost some of the BOV their jobs who supported it. So
GG.
Yeah.
Well, it leaves room for growth, so hopefully nothing. And all at this point, it seems like it's already at the lowest. All it can do is go up from here.
Yeah, it really is at the lowest, just in terms of, like, what I've seen, what I've heard, you know, and it's just bad. It's just bad all around. And they address it by being more disciplined. And instead of having cadets talk and say, hey, you know, this is what we see is wrong. And then they say, no, you're what's wrong. You know, like, I mean, they had a hunger strike because of the mess where they were feeding you, like, undercooked chicken and stuff like that. Like, it's disgusting. Like, that mess was horrible. Like, I don't know how it got ever past the health inspection.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. That sounds like it's just building character. I don't know.
That's what they all said.
That's just me. Yeah, that's the rationale.
That's what boomers all said, too.
It's community, too. You know, you bond over it.
Ration the actual cooked chicken amongst each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is the
purpose of, like, they're at the mess table and, like, mice are on the freaking plates of food?
Okay.
Yeah. That's like, bad. It's stuff like that. And they're like, hey, y'all got to fix this. You know, we pay an extremely exorbitant amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fix it. And they're like, well, it builds character. And we're looking at it. And they don't do anything.
We're watching the mice.
It builds character.
Yeah, we're watching the mice.
It's
the mice. Yeah. You know?
Meanwhile, that's y'all, like, are becoming the best men y'all can be. So you're welcome.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's, like, my favorite thing to say, like, whenever you're doing something just outlandish. Dude, it builds character.
Yeah. Yeah, getting hit in the face earlier builds character, Chris.
builds character. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, really.
Right? Before we wanted to talk about SpaceX, do we want to talk a little about sports? It was a pretty interesting week, past 2 weeks, with NBA and NFL.
I have something.
He came quick.
He's all acting like he doesn't.
But I do want to talk about sports. I just know we like talk about other things because we know the sports can be overbearing.
Yeah.
The whole fire Tom Herman and Sam Ellinger is not a good QB. That needs to shut up. You're dumb.
Wait. Explain what team.
This is
okay.
The
so
Longhorn.
From UT.
Okay.
University
cool.
of Texas, the Longhorn.
Context.
Longhorns.
I'm here. with
their head coach Tom Herman and their quarterback right now, who's a Heisman candidate, by the way.
Hmm.
Also Westlake alumni, shout out.
And Westlake alumni,
oh, really?
Where Drew Brees and Nick Foles all graduated from.
Shout out.
Literally the only person I know
graduated.
From Westlake.
Chris from the Thought Arcade also graduated there.
Oh, they must be
so
good.
So we played our most important game outside of the Big 12 championship game. We played it last weekend on the Red River Rivalry.
River Rivalry.
It was a tremendous game. Oh, my God. We
like
came back from
overtime.
Like 17 points down, and Sam goes off in the fourth quarter. When your quarterback throws for 400 yards and rushes for like another 50 – yeah, he had one bad throw where he did lead to an interception. That's not – the game's not his fault.
Hmm.
What happened is they go into the fourth, and you could tell this guy's tired. Like, he's dying out there. Because, again, it's a fourth overtime. This game's like 4 hours long.
Yeah.
In Dallas, in 90-degree weather, okay? You're gonna mess up mentally.
against like the hardest team like of the season, basically. Not even a chance. Yeah. Like, this is a championship game.
Exactly. Like you're going up against the future Big 12 championship game. This is like it's a preview of that game, basically. Yeah,
exactly.
And he messes up, and then I'm on a bunch of these like UT fanboy pages and stuff like that, and they're all like, "Oh, he sucks," and stuff like that. He leads the nation in total yardage per game and total yards from scrimmage. And he has more touchdowns than Trevor Lawrence from Clemson. He has more touchdowns than Ian Brooke of Notre Dame. That guy sucks.
Which, hold on. What's his name? Trevor whatever? He's supposed Trevor to be, Lawrence. I think, like the first drafted quarterback.
Yeah, he's first drafted guy off the board for sure. Yeah. And he should be. But Sam Ehlinger is next. Like Sam Ehlinger has that poise and leadership that brought that team down from 17 with like 3 minutes left. Like against the Tech game, he brought it back into that similar situation and won.
Yeah.
He's not getting the same amount of respect as Trevor is from Clemson. Exactly. Trevor is a great quarterback. He's a phenomenal. I watched him play last year. By the way, Elijah, I can tell how much this is eating you up this week. Yeah. But yeah. I saw Trevor play last year when it was like between him and Joe Burrow. Like, he's a great quarterback. And this year, I would argue he's the best college quarterback there is. But Sam Ehlinger should also be put in that category with the way
he needs to at least be invited to the Heisman ceremony.
Yes.
Yeah. If he doesn't win it, I will debate that. But he should at least be there. And another thing, too, that I've noticed is whenever they go down and they change the offense, and so they go into a no huddle where I think Sam orchestrates it by himself, and he can read defenses. Like, he's a smart guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He can read defenses, and you change up the offense, and you score all these points. And then when you go into OT, why are you doing the base offense that lets you down?
Yeah.
Keep up the same thing and keep up the momentum. Why are you reverting back to things that aren't working? Why are you reverting back to the power run?
OT?
There's not infinite OT.
How much do you get?
So OT, it depends on. So basically both teams get a chance to score. And if one of them doesn't, the game's over. But if they continue to score, they continue to play until someone doesn't score.
Yeah.
Like A&M and LSU last year went to 7 overtimes because they kept scoring.
That was nuts.
It was a crazy game. But A&M stopped them and then they won. So all you really need to do is get one stop.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of hyperbole when it comes to like people that watch football. Like they see Sam Ehlinger not win the game or something, and it's like, all right, get him out of here. Like, he's trash.
Exactly.
And everybody wants someone to blame.
Yeah, they just want someone to blame.
Blaming the wrong thing. If you want to blame somebody, blame that linebacking core and our safeties. I mean, granted, we had zero safeties out there. Like, they were all dead by the end of the game.
You can't just ignore all of the other things.
Yeah, and the same thing happens when I'm watching the NFL and I'm watching Dak Prescott.
Mm-hmm.
And
dude, don't even get me started.
Kellen Moore, my boy, my favorite college player of all time.
Why, dude? Why isn't he there anymore, dude? He could have been the.
I know. He could have been.
He could have been.
He would have. I think when he was first drafted, they should have replaced him with Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford sucks if you look at his analytics.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's really good against bad teams. Like, he goes off on bad teams. But
I don't want to say he's like bad. I feel like Matt Stafford is like the average quarterback.
Oh yeah,
he is average.
He does enough.
Every face is a team with a winning record. He's like 9-32.
Yeah,
against a team that finishes with a tied or better record. And so, I mean, Dak goes off every single game. He throws for like 500 yards. He should run a little bit more. He's a big guy.
Did you see what happened though? He ran this time and looked some freak accident and broke his ankle.
That's a risk you take.
That's why I don't
run. Should run
I'm wearing my cowboy shirt.
But
running's bad for you.
It is.
Wait, Emily, did you just say that's why I don't run?
Yeah.
It's
dangerous, dude.
Hey, I got volleyball knee pads, by the way. To run in.
Yeah, she skinned her knee pretty bad recently when she was running.
Yeah, it's so I just like you need to blame the defense of the Cowboys. Like, they haven't been drafting it well. Their safety depth is prospect. Their linebacking core is really good, and their defensive front's really good. Their corners and safeties are not good.
The thing is based, especially based off the fact that last year they did like well. Like our defense is what held us most. Because last year the opposite. Last year our offense struggled more than anything, and our defense actually stayed solid. This year our defensive line is. I don't want to say
your defensive line is really good.
I would say they're doing average. They could be. It's more our safeties and our corners that are. They are not tackling.
They don't tackle well in space. There's too many receivers open. Like, I'm surprised Julio Jones didn't go off on y'all. But, you know, y'all had a good game plan to isolate him. But then, like, you know, four other no-name.
Yeah.
We picked this guy up off the street yesterday in the parking lot. He went off for, four catches and 70 yards. Like, you're directing your focus to, like, the only person you know on that team.
I think it was more coming into like, especially with that Falcons game, it was more overconfidence than anything. Like, we did so well last year. This year, let's just focus on getting those, cutting down, like double teaming those stars.
Yeah.
Like Julio Jones, let's make sure they don't do anything. Then you have this rookie out of some random college coming out and getting like 100 yards and two TD. Like, I don't know
if it's two TDs or anything. Yeah. But. Like, people are, that's why I think people are dumb. I mean, of course, people are dumb. But, like, sports fans in particular are really dumb. Like, don't watch ESPN because they're full of dumb people.
No.
You know? Go to things like The Athletic where they actually break down things. And, like, you're just directing your focus toward the wrong thing because that's the only person you know on the team.
Dude, not even that. Just stick to your own knowledge. Like, if you know the sport, because the same thing happens in soccer. When something goes wrong, when you lose 4-0, you instantly blame the coach. Like, no.
There's no coaching in soccer.
There I'm gonna no punch coaches. You. I'm gonna punch you in the throat, Elijah. Fight me.
No, it's actually.
I'm taking hits to the head, Elijah. I'll do this now. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, you blame the coach for the team playing like shit or terribly. Sorry, excuse my language. But like, if you know the sport, it's more so like you could see the knowledge. You could see what's
happening.
You understand that it's not just like it's these tactical changes that are causing issues and causing those losses, sort of thing. Like that carries over to. Every sport, it's like always. Base it off of. Don't watch ESPN. Base it off of your own knowledge. I would say is most important because you understand what needs to happen or what should happen.
Yeah, and it's so that's just my thing. Like, this is my rant for today.
Yeah,
is you're blaming the wrong people because those are the people that are on the TV.
Yeah,
right.
Like, I wouldn't necessarily blame Tom Herman for the loss. I would blame the OC. For not going up tempo sooner, because that's where that team truly accelerates. When you put four receivers out there and you spread the field, and then you could run, and you have a two five-star recruits at the backfield. Like, someone's gonna run and someone's gonna make a big play, you know. But when you take your time and you're going slow and you're like, oh my god, why isn't our offense moving? Let's just keep doing the same thing. Don't wait three quarters to make a change. Make a change off the first series. Like, you have a scripted plan. Like,
it's like the gif of the Simpsons with the dude poking that thing in with the stick. It's like, do something.
Yeah.
And it's not doing anything.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's funny how y'all bring up the Cowboys because that's why I don't listen to people like that act like that and hyperbole and stuff. Because those are the same people that they see the Cowboys on like preseason game one win by 10 points and they're like, they're going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And it's just like, no, there's like a whole season to be played, my dude. Like, at least be a little realist about it, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
but the thing is there's also like the opposite end of that spectrum with like the people who are like, oh, the Cowboys are garbage or trash. Stephen A. Smith, I'm talking about you.
Oh.
Cowboys are like garbage, they're trash and everything. It's like, yo, chill. There doesn't need to be extremality when it comes to like a team. They don't need to be terrible or good right now. They can be average.
Yeah. LeBron scored a three. Is he better than everyone ever in the world? You know?
Yeah. Did he shoot better than Steph Curry?
Yeah. Like, jeez.
Arguably, though, he can. But
yes.
I wouldn't put him against Steph Curry in a three-point contest.
No shot.
Definitely not.
Curry doesn't miss. But I did want to talk about the NBA for a second with the Heat and the Lakers.
A good series. Too bad nobody watched it.
Yeah, nobody.
I mean, like, true sports fans, like, watched it. But
I watched a few games. It was kind of nice to see the Heat make the playoffs competitive. Like, it was actually, because I thought Lakers, everybody thought Lakers were going to go 4-0. Like, sweet.
Yeah.
But, you know, the fact that Heat won 2, like, that was really, really good on them. My whole thing was, I knew Lakers were gonna win. That's fine. My whole thing is Jimmy Butler. Everybody always counted him out. Every team that he went to, they always thought Jimmy Butler was the issue when it was not him. It was, in fact, the team. What, like, with the Timberwolves, Kat and Andrew Wiggins acting like scrubs, it was Jimmy
Butler. Yeah, and he yelled at them for not practicing. And everyone was Jimmy Butler's a bully. And I was like, no, Jimmy Butler's motivating them to practice. Practice? You're talking about practice?
I heard this fun
thing, this like funny comment that like Jimmy Butler is who we wanted, I think, Russell Westbrook to be.
Interesting.
And it was more because the leadership aspect of it. Because Russell Westbrook is a phenomenal player. I don't think he's a strong leader. Same thing with James Harden. James Harden can get you those buckets.
But an offense, that's it.
Terrible.
Get him off my team. Get him away from me.
Yeah. But but Jimmy Butler shows that he can not only take young players, undrafted players, players that no one thought would be good, and bring them together to play the Lakers and also lead them the way he did. And just put everything he got. I think Jimmy Butler has proven that he is, I would argue, an elite player at this point. Just based off,
I would put him in that elite category as well. Like a franchise player, I would put him there for sure. I would put him in the running for MVP. But okay. So I think this also helps Eric Spoelstra be better as a coach. And I don't think there is coaching in basketball. I think if you just put your best athlete out there, you're gonna win.
No. The funny thing with coaching is in basketball is it's not about coaching. It's not tactical plays. Your job as a coach is manage egos.
If LeBron's on your team, you don't have a coach.
Exactly. That's exactly it.
Hey, but that guy was it Ty Lue? He got a job.
He did.
The Clippers, yeah, exactly.
So I'm curious to see how he'll do. Like I said, I don't think coaching is that prevalent in basketball. Like, yeah, you could call plays, but I mean, you had the best athlete on the field, you're gonna win.
Pass it to LeBron.
That's the case with LeBron. That was the case with Michael. That's the case with Tim Duncan. Yes, he was an athlete.
Oh, but what about Papa Dope?
And the thing with the Ty Lue situation is, again, a job of a coach is managing egos. What are you gonna do in your team? You also need to have that same leader that helps kind of facilitate those egos.
And Kawhi
as well.
Leonard is not a leader.
No,
Kawhi
not
Leonard
at all.
Is a stoic little human being.
Exactly. And then when you have people like Playoff P, who air balls in open three, like, and then you have Lou Williams, Patrick Beverly,
sixth man of the year.
Like, I don't think it's gonna be good because Ty Lue only knows how to coach a LeBron team. Like, he's only ever been around LeBron, and the reason being is because he lets LeBron coach and play, basically. You know,
he did
it with who is it? The Cavs.
Yeah.
Like, he's not, I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting to see what he does without LeBron.
I think this also poses a question because, so they give out the finals MVP, like the MVP for all, like, you know, like Super Bowl MVP and stuff. Give it to a losing player if they're playing better than you. That's my thing. It doesn't have to go to the winner. And I think Jimmy Butler deserved that.
Jimmy Butler should have gotten it, but they've only done it one time before, and they've done it before. There's one time where the losing team had a finals MVP. I'll look in that
series with whenever it was Cavs and Warriors, like I think LeBron should have won it whenever they got swept because LeBron still had better numbers than anybody on the Warriors team.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, that's another discussion. So
yeah, y'all have tortured Emily enough with
our
manly talk.
Sorry, Emily. Sports brings
out
that.
I was just
that,
thinking of that episode of Fresh Prince when Will joins the basketball team, and it's the whole team is like white dudes who can't play, and the only thing the coach says is pass to Will.
Yeah.
Pass and he's like, Will. All right, so we're going to do this formation. Then what do you do? Pass to Will. Good job. All right.
Pass it to LeBron.
That's always the answer.
All right. So
let's go.
Now let's get into our actual main topic. So Elijah, I think you or Daniel, you guys know a little bit more about this. I'm kind of clueless. I'm not going to lie about it.
I've been to space before, so I have some experience.
I actually just got back. So.
Yeah, I just got back. Yeah.
You don't need to know anything.
There's no quarantine in space, so it's kind of cool up there.
So basically SpaceX is like kind of privatizing like the space exploration.
Well, they weren't the first. Like...
Okay.
So there have been other companies that have done, like Virgin Mobile's done it, where they've achieved space flight, and the first thing they did was they got M&Ms and threw M&Ms in the air, and they all floated around because NASA banned M&Ms.
What? Why would you do that?
Why?
Hold on. Yeah. Wait, what? Yeah, why?
Well, because
you're releasing a lot of, you know, hard candies, and they're going to, you know, turn into meteorites.
That's kind of true.
Man, that sounds like a personal problem.
It really does.
I mean, that's like pretty much putting speeding bullets out into space, and then one day they might just shred through somebody on accident.
Hey, you know what?
Death by M&M.
Bob and Weave. Bob and Weave.
Bob and Weave. Oh, my God. You can't see him coming. Or you can just...
Yeah,
right. You don't need to avoid those.
We've practiced that in like high school when you have your friend throw up a Cheeto or something and you catch it with your mouth. That's it. That's basically the same thing.
Yeah, and so other companies have done this before, and I think this is a good thing for the space race, because I think our next destination is Mars, and I think it's finally starting to heat up again. And the reason why I say that is because recently NASA put out a design test for new rockets, like new rocket boosters. And of course, you know, Boeing, who designs everything, put in something. Northrop Grumman, another guy who designs everything. You know, like these typical players put in their thing, and then SpaceX put in their thing, and SpaceX won.
Yeah.
Like, so whenever NASA or the European Space Agency wants to send rockets and satellites into space, they typically don't do it. They hire somebody to do it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think with all of this happening and SpaceX recently performing that space launch itself with rockets that Elon Musk is helping design, I think it's putting a lot of attention back onto space, and it's saying, hey, you know, we don't have to divert trillions of dollars in a loss to NASA, you know.
It's creating a commercial enterprise more than anything.
And don't get me wrong, there should be a NASA.
Mm-hmm.
There shouldn't be such a big waste of money, NASA. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's always that story of NASA spent millions of dollars to design a pen that works in zero gravity when the Russians just used a pencil.
Yeah.
and there's some sort of flaw about the pencil though, but
no pencils, no M&Ms.
No.
Exactly.
just imagine a pencil coming towards you. What is that? It just stabs you in the face.
Yeah.
Zero gravity and pencil could be very dangerous, guys.
It could be very dangerous. and so I think that this is a great move. And like I don't think there's gonna be like a first country to Mars. I think it's gonna be a first company to Mars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could see that.
I don't think that the US, the European Space Agency, or the Russian cosmonaut program are really like if they're gonna go against a private company, that private company's gonna win. They don't have to go through a bureaucracy to get funds. They don't have to go through a bureaucracy to get people. They don't have to go through certain I wouldn't say like safety hazards, but they don't have to go through all of this red tape.
Yeah. I was going to say resource management than anything. Because the thing is with SpaceX especially, like that's coming from Elon Musk. Like he is the inventor of the Tesla, the car, the company. And what they've done so well is just make such an amazing car, an amazing foundation from the least amount of material that they can do. So they're obviously taking into account that they're not going to spend as much money as NASA would trying to develop a particular technology. So that way they can make certain things accessible.
And then you got all the earwig stuff that goes into NASA, like, you know, like, okay, NASA, use these $10 million so you can get the $10 million next year. Okay, let's buy lobsters, you know? Like the Air Force did that recently, and the Air Force bought like $1,000 mugs and chairs and stuff.
Hold on, were the mugs engraved?
I have no idea.
Okay, we need to find that out. That's important to know, because if they were engraved, worth it. If not, not so much.
Just go to Etsy, bro.
Just Etsy, yeah. and so I think that a private corporation can handle it a lot better. Like you said, like toward resource management, they can handle it a lot better.
Yeah.
Their ingenuity is going to be a lot better because they have competition. Mm-hmm. Like NASA doesn't have competition. NASA literally just says, hey, somebody else go make our stuff and we'll subcontract you out. You know,
we're NASA.
And that breeds competition, and competition drives the best innovation.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's why things like Virgin Mobile, I mean, they're not in the race anymore, but they could come back.
Yeah.
You know, Japan has several private companies that are trying to make a forerunner of like the space elevator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're talking about gravity lifts and stuff like that. Like it's insane technology that like is being underreported about like what we're actually doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think this is great, because I think the privatization of any sort of industry is better than a government run thing. Yeah. And like it's the USPS that always has problems and always needs bailing out, per Mr. Obama.
Mm-hmm.
UPS, FedEx, DHL, me and Chris work in the logistics industry, all of these other people, they can all move crap better than the USPS.
Yeah.
It's the USPS that constantly needs bailing out.
Right. Yeah, the USPS,
you know, Amazon
should get in the space race.
Oh, yeah. That'd be dope.
Dude, Steve
Bezos should become Lex Luthor and go into space.
Dude, that's what I think is going to happen, dude.
Yeah, no. Elaborate on that.
That's what I think Amazon should first get into the gas industry, and there should be Amazon gas stations everywhere, and they should all be like Buc-ee's. And then they should go to space, because then they would be like, it would just be OP. Life would just be the best ever.
Yeah.
Imagine like having Amazon's resources put into space race technology, into rocket boosters and put into more fuel efficient stuff. That's what they're working on right now, you know, zero emissions and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And having trucks that can go 300 miles on like a battery. Like that's insane if you said that 10 years ago.
Yeah. Two-day shipping to your boy in Mars.
Exactly. Prime shipping. Like I still expect Prime that shipping. When I go to Mars.
I want two-day shipping.
Wait, so
I don't pay for that Amazon Prime for any other reason.
If you're a human on Mars, are you then a Martian?
You are, yeah. I think you'd be classified as a Martian.
No, you gotta be born there.
Oh, you gotta be born
there. You have to be born there. Because that's like saying the same thing as like the Californians who moved to Texas. Are they now Texan? No. They're implants.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
No, you're not Texan.
Speaking to Elijah's point about ingenuity and competition and stuff, speaking of Tesla too, I think I just read recently that one of their models of their vehicles got like a perfect like 5-star rating all across their safety stuff.
Is it that ginormous Halo Warthog truck? Because I want one of those.
No, but that one's awesome. No, dude, it's crazy. It's just they haven't been around for a long time. I just looked up. They've been since like 2003, and they've already made like, you know, essentially the safest vehicle, and nobody else could make it that safe. Like,
yeah, crazy. And they always like car commercials always brag about like the safety of the vehicle and stuff like that.
Then just think of that, like when it comes to space travel, like you gotta step up how how you build that, how safe has to be.
And SpaceX has definitely had their fair share of accidents. Like, you can go watch a collage of all their rockets exploding, but you can see where they go in and they analyze that film. They talk about it instead of NASA. And I hate to bring this up. In the Columbia disaster, they were like, it took them like months to figure it out. And then whenever they realized the problem, and they realized it pretty early on, they didn't do any sort of design flaw fixing or anything like that. They continued to send a space shuttle up, and all it did was like, okay, we'll have it turn around so we can do an inspection of it.
Yeah.
Of the shield panels, instead of saying, hey, you know, let's kind of cancel our stuff right now. Let's see what we can improve on. And another thing, too, is I think the space shuttle program itself, although a good idea back in the 80s and like late 70s, I think it's when it like really kicked off. It was meant to reduce the cost of going to space. Like whenever it was first put up and their budgets were released, like they were going to put space shuttle missions up like once a year, twice a year type stuff. And of course, they never did because it ballooned out of control. And they realized that it's not cheap. As just disposing of rockets, which is far cheaper, you know. So I think in terms of safety, like I think I would rather have SpaceX do that over NASA.
And the thing is with NASA too is because NASA's government run, it's essentially just us against other countries. Yeah. Like you were saying earlier, it's not going to be the first company.
Yeah, like the early part of the space race in the 50s and 60s, where the commie scum was beating us on like a daily basis with stuff like Sputnik and putting the first man into orbit. And we had like one or two things. We had the first man go around the circumnavigate from space or something like that. You know, but then the Commodores, they launched the dog. They launched a monkey. They launched a woman, and we didn't do any of that stuff.
Yeah, I know, hold on. Weird. Why, I know, like, what was that shade of? So where did you go from like monkey to like woman? It's just like dog, that. Woman. I think that threw.
That's just how the Russians are. They're like, all right, first.
They launched the satellite around the moon first. Anyways, y'all know what I mean.
I know.
They were the first to do the vast majority of the stuff.
Yeah,
but that competition and that national spirit and unity for NASA under JFK, it really bred like the best out of the innovation. And we got the Apollo program off the ground. We got to the moon first. And now, you know, like we're basically funding the entire, you know, ISS, you know, like the Russians send stuff up every now and then, but
yeah.
I mean, so, but I definitely think, If there is like a country versus country thing, I think China is coming up there. Although China, I think they do have a space program, but I'm not sure how like advanced or far along it is. It wouldn't surprise me if they didn't have one.
India also has one.
India should be up and coming. So
it just seems more rush whenever it's like country versus country. You know what I mean? Like we're always in competition to beat China. We're always in competition to beat Russia to space. And I think the best thing when it comes to like the actual privatized market, when it comes to space exploration, SpaceX, like you said earlier, I feel like that'll bring a lot more positive changes and a lot more positive upgrades when it comes to like space exploration.
Yeah.
Is because now it's SpaceX who has the potential to compete with, let's say, Amazon, hypothetically, or let's say one of the big cell phone, AT&T starts doing something, whoever they're, Viacom or whatever, like the TV, maybe they just somehow get into space exploration. And now you're building all these like private companies and it just seems a lot more sustainable in the future economically.
Yeah,
because then we're bringing in like jobs, money, like all the funding will actually go. The only thing is that with the government, though, it's like where do the funds are coming from us, essentially.
Funds are coming from tax dollars. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, like I said, you can divert, allocate what you want to do for NASA. I'm fine with that. I think NASA is a great program. You know, I'm not here to trash NASA. You know, I love NASA. I support NASA by buying NASA T-shirts. You know, and And a really good thing about NASA is, you know, stuff like the Hubble Space Telescope and the Voyager stuff. You can go on to NASA's website, since it's a public domain. Like, they have to release all of that information, which is great for astronomers, you know. Yeah. So, you know, like they, there's good things to having a government-run organization. But I just think a private corporation would do it better. And another thing, too, is private corporations don't get into stuff like this to lose money.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, it could lose them in the short term. But in the long term, it's going to make them lots of money. Yeah. And companies are smart like that. With governments, we aren't smart like that. We'll just throw money at anything and it just gets lost.
Exactly.
You know, like, I always talk, like, I always love whenever, you know, there's a bipartisan bill about the military budget, you know, it's too much. But they come together to waste all that money. Oh, but then like, oh, well, we're going to spend money on this. Well, no, you can't do that. Well, y'all both came together for, you know, the military. So. And you're going to come together to do the NASA budget and stuff like that. If they just throw money at the problem, and it's not good. Companies throw money with a strategic initiative in mind.
Right.
Like, they're not just going to throw money in there to waste it. And once they, and another thing too, is NASA also gained money because they use their sites and platforms and rocket technology to put stuff like AT&T satellites up there. And so they'd lease them out and get money that way. But companies soon realized, hey, let's just design our own rocket and launch it.
Yeah.
It's more feasible for us to do it than having to wait for NASA, having to wait for a launch site space, stuff like that.
Yeah. So, real quick. So to jump back on your topic of information stuff, though. So yeah. Moving on from like financials, information wise, NASA has to release all the information.
They do. They like have to saying, release it.
Yep. For like astronomers and everything. Now for private companies like SpaceX, they would have that option to keep their stuff hidden.
Yeah, like if they took a picture of the moon, you know, to analyze it, they don't have to release that information. Like, whereas NASA has to release that picture of the moon and tell them what it was.
If Amazon makes first contact, and they don't have to tell the rest of the world. Prime members only.
Prime members only get to see alien.
Yeah, that's a great point. How do we know Amazon hasn't already done this? How do we know Amazon's not already on Mars or the moon? You know?
How do we know like stuff like SETI hasn't actually made contact yet? You know, it's a good question.
How do we know
JFK got shot because he's
real alive? Because he knew that's what it was.
Yeah,
but see, don't you see that becoming an issue though? Like the withholding of information, because then if these. Hypothetically, I'm not saying I do believe it or not, these private companies come across, you know, life on Mars. Mm-hmm. That's probably the easiest hypothetical I can think of. That's why I said it. They come in contact, they're sharing technology, but when they come back, they don't share that information with the world.
Yeah.
Like, couldn't that be an issue as well?
For me, my issue is, why would you want to withhold that you found life? Withhold that information?
You have a monopoly on the intergalactic trade system. You know, Amazon would jump on that.
Well, I feel like if you were the first, especially to Amazon, that,
if you were the first to discover life on a different planet, that would fundamentally alter everything from how society functions to religion. To economic, I mean, it your philosophy of your place in the world.
Your stock would jump like.
You're
millions.
Talking like a government, not like a private organization.
No, if a government found life, they would have to release it.
Exactly.
Yeah, they would have.
But
to,
if you're a private institution,
you don't have to.
You spent your own money on it. You're like, that's what I bought. That information.
I found life first.
It's mine.
Well, the thing is the reason why you wouldn't want to do that is because everybody always has, and this is more like everybody as an individual person, like you always want to have that one thing that makes you different from the next person. You are always going to want to be unique in your own aspect. So the same thing with the private company is that they want to be independent. They want to be unique in their own aspect. So if this company, SpaceX, if they make contact with life on Mars, they have that against, I'm going to say Virgin Mobile because that's, or Virgin Mobile. I'm going to say Virgin Mobile because they're the other one. So now they have a leg up on Virgin Mobile because they made contact with other life form. So now the fact that they can do this, they can create those trade systems, and now the only thing we're trading with life on Mars is like the resources.
A life form that's gonna trade with you, like I'm not just talking about that. Like they're gonna find microscopic life.
So
no. I was wholeheartedly
real Martians on Mars.
No. I know it was just the easiest like hypothetical, and I was wholeheartedly
because there's pyramid structures on Mars due to some U.S. mapping. So
if you're a private company and you have investors, you have people that are giving you money to work on these things, they are interested in the work that you're doing, and you find life on whatever planet or in space, you need to say something. Like you are going also, to say something, because what that's going to do is your investors are probably going to double up, triple up on their investment. And other people are going to triple up on their investment,
unless the government steps in and says, okay, well, you found something.
Yeah, you probably have to go through like national security or something, but that they can't.
Not if you're way ahead of them.
You can't. They can't do anything if you did it legally. I mean,
my thing is, okay, so if you have investors, you do have to divulge
information
to them. Like your whole company has to be like International Branch Shares Corporation. They have to divulge once a year. Like Disney just had theirs, and it was a complete debacle, by the way, which we'll talk about a long time from now. Disney's in the crapper.
State of the Union for
that.
Exactly. It's State of the Union for the company, and that company has to divulge to their investors that they found life. And that investor's going to tell everybody else.
You can tell everybody, but you're still the only resource to it. Or they can decide maybe not to tell.
Well, that's the thing. Everybody. I don't think you
find a new pocket of oil, it's not a secret anymore. Everyone finds the oil. You know, everyone finds this resource that they're going to talk about, and they go ham and get it. You know, so I don't think that if they do find life, or they do find like that resource from Avatar, whatever that Steven Rock was, you know, like, yeah, they're gonna do what they can to control it, but they're still gonna come out and say, hey, I found life, I'm the first human to make contact, you know, all the splendor and prestige goes to me, Amazon.
Like these are
that's
business.
My Jeff Bezos voice.
Yeah, these are business.
That
people.
was it. That was like 100% like accurate. That's how it sounds. Okay, gotcha. I just want to make sure I remember.
Like these are businessmen. These are business people. Like it would be horrible business not to tell your investors, hey, look what your money got us, just hide that and then lose money on like a potential more adventures because you made a big discovery.
That's why I think if the investors
have a right. But does the country have a right?
Yeah,
it's not about having the right. It's just poor business.
Do.
It's poor.
The investors do have a right.
Sure,
but yeah, the investors have a right. The U.S. government can't just step in and say, "Hey, you found aliens, right?" And you know, Jeff Bezos is like a smoothie.
Like I'm sure certain businesses don't tell their investors a lot of crap that they do in their business.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's not about.
The average stockholder doesn't know how Disney's run.
Right.
Like my dad owns a portion of like a couple stocks in Coca-Cola. He doesn't know how Coca-Cola runs.
Yeah.
I don't know how Coca-Cola runs.
But could he find out? Does he have a right to find out?
He does have a right. As an investor, you do have a right to find out. And they do release that information to investors. Like going back to the International Branch Shares Corporation, you could find every single bank officer that's employed there on their website. You know, you could find out everything about the stock and the company itself on their website. And that's given to the investor. That's given to the stockholder once a year, and they have to do that. Mm. So
like, I'm just saying it's not for the business as a right to tell the investor, like, yeah, if there's a right or whatever, that's fine. But I'm just saying it's poor business. It's stupid business to not tell the investor.
Yeah.
It would be completely stupid not to tell them that you made a huge discovery out in space.
Yeah. I think that at that point, when the investor knows, is where it changes for like, should we release this type of information or should we not?
If you're a publicly traded company like Amazon is, I don't know if SpaceX is or not, but if so, you know, do with it what you will. But if you're a publicly traded company, your entire business and business model have to be public.
Okay, that also...
IBC is a publicly traded company. You have to release your business model and business information. You have to. And that's for other investors to look at your company and say, hey, you know what? It's a sound business. I'm going to invest in it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if SpaceX is private or public. I assume it's private. I assume that they cover it as an entity of Tesla.
Yeah, I guess.
And so, like Disney is a publicly traded company. Apple is a publicly traded company. Apple has to release everything that they do. Like, they don't have to release like their trade secret, like how their iPhone works or their battery that operates the iPhone. But they have to say, hey, we have this cool technology that we're using for the iPhone. But they don't have to say, oh, this particular whatever.
So it basically takes it like one step further now to like if it's public or private. Because if it's private, public at that point, you have to share the information.
You have to share information based on the business model. Yeah. You don't have to like specifically say, well, this particular rocket's designed like this that goes to here or whatever. They don't have to release that because that's a trade secret. Mm-hmm. But they have to release, hey, we have a new rocket. We're going to send it up to Mars.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's what it's saying.
Okay.
It's
like this particular rocket type with this particular model does this better than, you know, the Saturn V rocket of the 60s or whatever. Now, if like NASA came out and said that, they don't have to release any information because it's a government entity. So they don't have to go out and say, hey, you know, we're designing a new rocket. Here's how it works. They just say, hey, we have a new rocket. That's it. And they don't even have to say that. They just say, we have a new thing and we're going to go to Mars.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so I also think, I mean, like Daniel's point is these companies aren't stupid.
Yeah.
You know, governments are stupid. Democracies and republics especially are stupid.
Tell us how you really feel.
It's just a lot of I'm sure there's a lot of paperwork, a lot of bureaucracy. Like
it's a lot of bureaucracy, a lot of red tape just to get funding.
Just to do one thing, you know.
Yeah. And then above all of that, you had to go in front of a committee hearing and then, you know, mm-hmm. you're talking to a bunch of people, you know, who ran in the District of Montana. What does that guy know about space? Probably nothing. And he's on the space committee. Oh, great. You know. No, I have to explain to this moron why we need more funding. You know,
right.
I don't think they necessarily word it like that, but I mean, I bet pretty they close.
Do. Oh, no, 100%. Oh God, yeah.
Just not on record.
But that's what you're saying. That's it's what you're saying is better than like NASA relies on public interest, and it's relied on that since like JFK days, like you said, and that was peak interest.
Whenever Eisenhower founded it,
yeah, that was peak interest. That was
the national interest. And today it's not.
It's not. So it's definitely better that the commercial side comes in and is like, you know what? If you're interested, we can do some stuff. If you're not, then watch us do cool stuff.
Yeah, and I really wish there was more interest in NASA and space exploration. Like whenever I was in school, like one of my top like five favorite classes ever taken was I worked with one former NASA employee who worked there in the 70s and he used to take pictures with telescopes that still had glass plates. And he brought these glass plates to school one day and they were amazing.
Yeah.
And then I worked and I studied with a current NASA employee and he talked about how like he worked on a mission where he designed and built a rocket that shot a giant lead projectile at the moon's surface and it created a plume of moon dust, and then he had another probe come in and collect all that moon dust on like this really cool gelatin that collects it and then analyzes it all from space. And he's like, yeah, my goal was to see if the lunar polar caps have water, you know. Mm-hmm. And if they
moon.
Do have water he really did. Yeah,
that's
he really
not
shot
cool.
the moon. Yeah, no,
I'm
he
against
really
this
cool,
form
cool
of
project
of exploration.
Shoot.
Yeah. And the thing was like we're trying to see if there is water on the caps.
It didn't hurt.
I was like, dude, that's awesome. Too. And like and so, you know, like just talking about that. And I remember we had another student there, you know, sophomore obviously. And he's like
oh my
he was an army contract. He I don't know why he was even in the class. because he was like, well, why are we spending all this money on NASA? Like, it's so dumb. And
hey, man, if you're out there listening to us right now, Elijah doesn't like you. Just thought I'd tell you.
I don't
that
like
none
you
of us do.
I'll fight you.
Yeah.
No, oh, yeah. None of us do. Because loyalty. We don't like you.
Yeah. And so, so Professor gave a really good, you know, heartfelt speech about NASA and its purpose. And it was like talking about, you know, the public interest of it and that it is important, that it leads to the advancement and development of technology for the greater endeavor of the human species, you know? And yeah, no, I stood up. Ooh. And I'm like, ooh, I'll kill him for you. I'm a senior. I can go get my knob to
scholarship
devour
revoked
him. Yeah.
Get him out of here.
But does anyone know what NASA stands for?
Mm. Nope.
The National Aeronautics and Space Administration.
Nice. Let's verify
that's
that.
Something I didn't know for a long time. I want to say that's right.
National
Aeronautics and Space Administration.
It's the National Association for Space Adventures.
I kind of like that name better.
Wait, is
no,
it?
It's cool.
Change.
No, Elijah was right.
No, Elijah's good. Fact check, true.
Oh. Yeah.
And it's overseen by the National Space Council, which is, I don't know exactly what that is, but I know there's a really fun Twitter or tweet comeback where like this girl says she got a NASA internship, so fuck off. And then someone replies like, hey, don't say that. And she's like, screw you, dude. I got an internship at NASA. And he's like, I run the National Space Council that oversees NASA. And then she got her internship revoked. So, you know.
Imagine having that as a title. Yeah, I run the space whatever council. Like,
yeah, the National Space Council. That'd be. I don't know how stressful that job would be though.
Put that on your resume, dude. That'd be cool. Dude,
yeah, you only do it for the title, not the actual work.
That's so true. You're right. You have a whole council to run. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
You delegate.
You delegate.
You do. Yeah. You do the bare.
You get the cool title, maybe a badge.
You do the bare minimum.
Delegate the planets a little bit.
You read an email or two, and then you go about your day.
Yeah.
Or you go on Twitter and back talk to
Santa. There you go.
Wake up every morning, Venus on, you know, on orbit. All right, on trajectory. Yeah. All right, you're good. All right.
Yeah.
They have like a little worksheet on their desk, like the ones that you would get in elementary school with like the line next to the planet, and you would name the planet. And you're like, all right, done.
Yeah,
I did it.
You did.
I did.
So I have a question for y'all.
Expert.
So say in the next X amount of years, we're still young and spry, of course.
Of course.
We're not spry as for old people.
Yeah, Chris has brain damage.
Well,
so.
Chris
he's not as spry as he used to be.
I have CTE. So
my thing is, would y'all go to Mars if available?
Yes.
Like, say, like, hey, you pay X amount of money.
Affordable?
Yeah. We'll say it's affordable. We'll say you can do it.
So
would you go to Mars?
That's actually.
Wait, hold on. Follow-up question to that. Can I use my Southwest miles to look
yes. like? Yes, the Southwest helped invent the rockets for it.
Then yes.
It's the Southwest quadrant of the solar system, I believe.
What were you going to say, Daniel?
So that's actually what I think is going to get public interest back into space is when we get to a point where you can start having vacation into space.
Quote unquote. Yeah.
Like if you can travel to the moon and go stay at the Fairmont Moon or the Hilton Hotel on the moon.
The Hilton Lunar.
You know,
the Luna.
Like spend the day there. Like you get to see the hotel room with the window that faces the Earth on that certain day or whatever, whenever you see the Earth and the
It oversees the American flag.
It oversees the American flag, you know.
Yeah.
Like I think that's when public interest will spike, is when you can actually travel safely and as a vacation like getaway thing. Because people they already go on those plane trips that like leave the atmosphere, and you can see the like you're actually out of this atmosphere.
Virgin Mobile used to do, I don't know if they do that anymore, but they used to do that where you could rent out and fly, you know, be an astronaut for X amount of hours or whatever.
Well, yeah, I mean, you just go up there and you see like just complete sky for a little bit, and you come back down, and people pay like hundreds of thousands of dollars for that. I don't know. I think that's the next step, and maybe I don't know. I'm kind of scared of all that stuff.
I'm down to open a hotel on the moon.
I'd run a little. I run a little B&B.
Yeah,
dude. Yes,
you know, Airbnb. Once me and Val retire, and you know, we'll just go run a little B&B.
Hey,
you know,
I already make got omelets. The last name. We got hotel experience.
You don't even have to build an elevator. All you got to do is just like jump, like.
You just jump.
All you gotta do is just jump to floor to floor, dude. It's low grad, dude.
Yeah, you could.
No elevators. Yeah. The stairs would be really fun.
I think cooking would be different, but we'll figure it out.
Cooking would be absolutely different.
That's true.
Yeah. We'll work on that problem when we cross that bridge.
That's what I'm saying. There's so many things to work. Plumbing. Where does the poop go?
Where does my dookie go?
It just shot back in Earth and it burns up in the atmosphere.
Yeah,
you could, dude. You could ball it up, have snowball fights with it. Like,
Current astronauts, they wear diapers during the actual launch and stuff like that. They wear diapers until they get to the ISS. They have like a vacuum and a little poop bag, and the vacuum sucks up the poop and stuff, and then they jet it out.
I need that right now, like for on Earth.
Yeah,
it sounds very convenient.
Yeah, I'm tired of gaming, and then I have to get up and use the bathroom.
Exactly, dude.
Very nice.
You want it vacuumed out here?
That one time, the day where we're gonna do like an 8-hour stream, we need it.
Yeah.
My god.
Yeah, we need things like that. Where y'all at? Come on, help us out. All
right. So, what do y'all think? Would y'all go? To like Mars?
I think I would. Just, you know, as Emily would say, just for the experience. I think I would.
I think it's feasible within our generation,
dude. Before our generation like dies out and stuff, I think that we can make these sort of trips happen.
Yeah. I'd be down if it was affordable.
I barely got on a plane like it's not even that long ago. So
wait, who?
I barely got on a plane like
3 years ago.
3 years ago. So I'm.
Oh wow.
I'm not ready. Not ready for that,
dude. I would go. I'd throw hands with an alien.
Isn't Japan trying to work
Why is it gotta be fighting?
You throw hands with what?
Fighting aliens.
With aliens.
Yo, why can't you how are we gonna assert dominance if I can't throw a hand, Elijah? You have to understand.
Right.
We need to show them.
You don't even know what kind of hands it has. It could be throwing all kinds of things.
Tentacles.
Emily, I don't care about that. I will fight all 8 of its tentacles.
He really has brain
Chris,
damage.
I would full-heartedly fight an alien with you.
Let's do it, dude.
Let's do it.
Yes.
And then I'd stay for the God Emperor, and I'd charge it, you know, and then I throw off my ballistic skill, my weapon skill, you know.
What's its toughness?
What's its initiative?
Yeah. We have to roll every time we
exactly,
we
fire.
Independence Day, dude, like, welcome to Earth.
Oh yeah,
such a great line.
That except we would be saying this is our. Oh no, it'd be Captain Phillips. I am the captain now.
Oh my god.
I know this is your planet, but
it's
mine now. I am Amazon.
I am Amazon.
Did y'all hear that? Like Russia is laying claim to Venus.
What?
I don't know what it is about, but they're like. Venus is Russian. It's part of Mother Russia.
Well, the thing is, so whenever you look at the geotopical graph of the Earth and they release the square footage of how big the USA is, the USA includes the surface area of the moon.
Mm.
Because
that's actually
kind of
cool.
We're the only ones who've been there. Because fun fact. The moon is U.S.
it.
Property. Yeah.
It's not U.S.
Well,
property.
We put the flag on her.
We included in our geotopical.
We put a sticker on the moon that doesn't make it ours.
That's how we.
She really called the American flag a sticker. The moon is just a sticker book.
That's how the U.S. happened.
Well, that's the thing. Is that what we wanted to be? Just sticker books? Is that what we're doing in the universe? Is putting our stickers on?
We're
like dogs that go around peeing on everything. That's mine. That's mine.
I've seen the moon rock.
Yeah.
Moon rock was very expensive.
Moon rocks, man.
But yeah, no. Whenever they talk about the square footage of the U.S., the moon is included.
So Russia.
Okay, hold on. Hear me out. We do Fight Club, but we fight, and the prize are planets.
Oh.
You want to fight a Russian dude for Venus?
Nah, I don't want to fight.
They
can
have Venus. What's on Venus?
A Russian dude
acid rain or whatever.
Dude, yeah. They all that Russia has on if they did a map, it would be ice. And then if they have Venus, it's just gas. Like, way yeah. to go, Russia. You got a big like big gas planet.
You go, Russia. You can have Venus.
There's no surface. We'll just Mars gas.
And, it's like know. 99% of their surface area would be uninhabitable.
Well, that's if it's surface area, does Venus even have a surface?
Venus is a rock yeah. planet.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. It's just covered in a really dense and thick atmosphere full of like sulfuric acid and stuff like that.
Before
so,
and after square footage is just like, there's no growth. It's just gas.
Let's take Venus. They can have Jupiter and Saturn.
No. Jupiter's got diamonds and stuff. It's a gas, but if you go further down, its core is diamond.
It's debatable
land their spaceship.
Like Jupiter's moons and Saturn's moons.
Yeah.
Like potential for life.
Like Europa and Titan are both like candidates to harbor life.
Yeah, yeah.
And so like I mean that's okay, so another thing too is what if like Amazon or SpaceX or whatever goes to one of these moons?
I like how we include Amazon in this conversation. Like,
because I'm pretty sure Amazon's doing it.
Just because they're like so big, dude. They're,
I think
they're
it's a safe assumption.
Yeah. They quit they really quit yeah. doing it though. Like, let's be honest. They have the resources and capacity to do it. Like,
Jeff Bezos wanted to. Right now. Yeah. He's listening right now, and he's like, write this down. Write down everything they're Jeff saying Bezos. Right now,
sir.
Jeff Bezos,
I would like to be the director of your space program.
Yeah. And I took Chris two will be the classes muscle.
At a sophomore level as a physics elective, so I know what I'm talking about.
They're gonna have two separate space programs, one's for his like divorced wife and one for him, like Mr. Gaddies and Mrs. Gaddies. Be like Mr. Bezos and Mrs. Bezos both going to space together.
Go to space.
I don't know.
This turned into like a weird rom-com now with the Amazon with Jeff Bezos.
Yeah, I don't know what Amazon made. Amazon made it to the stream.
Because he's Lex Luthor.
He pretty much
incarnate.
Is. Yeah.
You're gonna see an article tomorrow. Jeff Bezos is now bald.
He has always been bald.
That works.
Oh, he's always been bald?
Oh yeah, he's bald, dude.
He's always been bald. Like in the '90s before he was a trillionaire. And put money into his body to bulk up.
He had hair, but he's bald now. He like shaves that every day, dude.
Yeah,
it's clear bald. It's what we like to call clear bald.
Like Mr. Clean.
Clear bald. Like, just when it's so clear and clean, like
and shiny,
you can see your reflection.
Clear bald was when it just like plain doesn't grow. Like there's nothing to shave. It's just.
That is.
I didn't know there were types of baldness. I just know the peak and the male pattern.
So if you rub Jeff Bezos's head, do you instantly become a millionaire or a billionaire?
Yeah,
I think so. Is that how it works? If you touch his head, he'll kill you.
And you talk to aliens.
The Amazon genie, Amazon genie comes out, and you get to ask for one free item.
Yeah, on Prime Day.
Only on Prime Day. But you do get 2-day shipping. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Same day.
And if you're lucky enough and you order in time, you get same day shipping.
What are y'all thinking about Space Force?
I think it's.
Ooh, he's about
it's
to say
not
it's
necessary.
Dumb.
It's kind of dumb, but really? I kind of see its purpose because the next like whenever we do go to war with China, that's what I'm calling it.
China.
But we're gonna be dragged into it because it's really gonna be China and India, and the next like the sort of tertiary theater of warfare is going to be that because. Like China's already developed anti-satellite missiles, so imagine you already have a little bitty lieutenant who already can't read a map, and it's just a stereotype. I'm pretty sure plenty of people can read a map, you know, and relies on GPS. Okay, well now all our satellites are down, so now we can't communicate. We can't communicate with the A-10 that's providing air support. We can't communicate with the destroyer to launch that Tomahawk. Okay, now our GPS is gone, so now we don't even know where we are. So we could be completely encircled or we could be, you know, 100 miles away from the actual battlefield. Mm-hmm. So China's already developed anti-satellite technology and anti-satellite missiles. They can launch from their ships. Mm-hmm. and this is a big eye opener. This happened a couple years ago. The U.S. was like, oh, God, we don't have anything like that. Okay, let's not panic. What if we sent an F/A-18 as high as the service ceiling can go, and we'll launch a missile there? And it worked. So you're now encumbering a pilot to go off and do that when that pilot could be providing air support or, you know, ship defense or something like that. Mm-hmm. Whereas the Chinese can just launch a missile like they do with a cruise missile.
Yeah.
So that is the next theater of warfare whenever a great power collides with each other. It's taking down your satellites, taking down your communication. And the number one thing in warfare is communication. It's knowing your direct comm and what the whole battle sphere needs. So you take that out. What are you gonna do? You can't go send runners. They're gonna get shot. You know, no one sends runners anymore. You're the battle sphere is too big. We're talking miles and tens of miles big nowadays. Mm-hmm. You know, so runners are not feasible. Stuff like email, like in Desert Storm, that's how they were able to communicate. Email. Yeah. Now we can do text messaging and Neuralink headsets together. All of that's run by satellites. Take out the satellite. What do you do? So I think that's the real purpose of the Space Force. Of course, it gets pooped on because it's the Space Force. Well, and, you know, the Air Force had its own division of it in cybersecurity and cyber warfare.
Mm-hmm.
But it just helps divert more allocation to it. So,
yeah,
it's like I wouldn't say it's like completely unnecessary, but
like
I think it's a bit premature.
In the context of our conversation, I just kind of thinking of it now that if we're so that my idea of the government is to primarily protect us from stuff, right?
Yeah.
From foreign, yeah. Domestic, whatever. That's like their primary goal is to let us just do our thing. Uh-huh. So in this context, we're venturing out on like kind of a business venture, going to the moon, going to Mars, going out to all this stuff. And yeah. I think people are like, Space Force, like, we don't even know if aliens are real. What are we going to do? Shoot lasers at whatever? And it's like,
but they're shooting the moon already.
They're shooting the moon.
Against it.
Exactly. So.
Yeah, we can tell Emily.
And we like, already have a laser. Like, we put it on a destroyer not too long ago. So.
Yeah. So it's like, if we're out there in space, we're doing stuff. We're trying to, you know, find stuff, build businesses, explore all that good stuff, then there's the Space Force who can protect those people, those Americans, those whoever that are actually doing work back and forth from space from I mean, at this point we don't know of any alien stuff, so it would be from people like, you know, like you're saying, like taking out satellites, disrupting business from different planets and things like that. So I guess, I mean, like in the context of this conversation, I was like, okay,
that's one thing. Like private security is dumb. Like it's not like the only truly good private security was Executive Outcomes. If you read about them, like they were cool. Mm-hmm. Like they did something, you know, but like that sort of thing just doesn't happen anymore.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of private security and business models, like, you know, like there's a like Blackwater thing, but they're a disaster. So I think like there will be a need for Space Force, but not in the context of like right now.
Yeah.
Like later down the line, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just
like whenever we generate that capability. Right now it's just shooting down each other's satellites.
Right.
You know, and
it's just like widening the scope of national security because we are actually going to be participating in the stars. Like that's our next venture of existence, I guess.
Who was it that 100%. Called it like a long time ago? I think it was like Einstein or somebody said that like the next world war will send us into the dark ages.
Oh yeah.
He said, I don't know with what weapons World War IV will be fought or World War III will be fought with, but World War IV will be fought with sticks and stones.
Yeah, right. That's it.
Yeah.
Alluding
to the freaking
and not only if the Chinese attack our satellites, like, I mean, think about like our daily use of GPS, you know, like I'm new to Baton Rouge. I still use it. Yeah. I don't know my way around. Imagine that just goes away.
Yeah.
You know, imagine my ability to call y'all, you know, or to call my mom. That's gone.
All of the like we do rely on
satellite technology quite a bit, you know, and that really is where the next threat level is. Like, you know, if you're thinking strategically, like, yeah, take out their communication. Also, we'll box aliens. So,
you know. The all the video games you play, the antagonist is either like a Russian like extremist group, a China in Battlefield 4, I think.
Yeah.
And it's all
Battlefield 4.
I think it's Battlefield 4, and they all throw an EMP, disrupt all communication.
And Homefront where Koreans do it.
I'm sure we have some way to prevent against it, but it is like eluding I think you're exactly right that that's like the next type of warfare.
It just opens up a new capability and basically a whole new theater of warfare that we haven't seen. We don't know what it's about. We don't know what to do. It's cool to like war game about it, but in the end, like China is ahead of us in that technological development. Mm. You know, our Tomahawks and cruise missiles and the next generation of missiles, they can reach satellites. The Chinese already have that. And the Chinese president, dictator, commie scum, came out and was like, hey, whenever he was reviewing troops, was like, hey, yeah, that's right, Winnie the Pooh, talking to you. I'm just kidding. Google censors us in China.
Okay, cool. It makes me feel slightly better that we won't get attacked.
No, we're good.
he did like a review of the Chinese People Liberation Army Navy, and was like, "Hey, prepare for the next war because you're gonna be in it, like you're it, you know." So, but yeah, and you know, that is where we are. So you know, Space Force is needed for that. Yeah. I don't think Amazon Security Forces can do that. I don't think Amazon even has a security force.
Yeah.
Garda will go out there.
Oh my god.
Garda will defend.
Garda world.
With that like 300-pound guy that's never shot a pistol in his life. No. You know?
Yeah.
Paul Blart.
I used to get
on his Segway patrolling the moon.
I used to legit get like
Mall Cop. It'll be like a hovering one.
Yeah.
They couldn't even lift the bags of coin to the truck. I had to do it for them. Like I've gotten Garda people that are like that too. It's just for that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So,
oh my god, we're screwed.
Yeah, that's bad.
So, anyways, but yeah, I think the privatization of space is great. I think it's breeding more competition more than ever. I think stuff like SpaceX is just going to continue to emerge and continue to do well and outperform stuff like the good old boys like Northrop Grumman and Boeing and stuff like that. And NASA, I think but NASA doesn't really do anything. They just subcontract out anyways.
Yeah.
You know, let's cut the middleman out.
Let's cut the
subcontracting money out and just use that money for direct NASA investment or invest in stuff like SpaceX.
Yeah.
And kudos to like Elon Musk for being like,
or even trying.
Yeah. You know what, guys? Like, none of y'all are paying attention to this opportunity. I'm going to make it look like a big deal because I think it's a big deal. And then everyone's like, hey, like, this guy.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, Buzz Aldrin and all these other, like, former astronauts and stuff came out, you know, trash talking him, saying it's stupid. And, you know, they're wrong.
That's what makes Elon Musk the GOAT. It's because he's willing to try. Like, he doesn't get like, no matter what kind of criticism he gets, he's just like, oh, okay, that's cool, but I still
want to
try it.
Like, exactly. He believes something's there and he doesn't even know what it is yet, you know? Like, he thinks that the next venture is there. He doesn't have any clue what it is, but it's going to be cool, whoever finds it.
It's like a true depiction of, like, thinking outside the box. Like, if you ever want to give someone an example of a person who thinks outside of the box, Elon Musk. Because this guy his imagination is crazy. And also, the confidence he has in himself to pull this type of stuff off is high, dude.
Yeah, and he's also really funny on Twitter.
Oh, yes, yeah.
He's also a troll. He's funny.
To get the millennials involved, just go follow his Twitter. It's amazing.
It's pretty funny.
It's just the optimism that was at the beginning, like the JFK days. That's the optimism that has since left us. You know, he has that, and that's good.
I think absolutely. I think he's that sort of forerunner, charismatic guy that we need, you know, to lead an endeavor like this, like. Mm-hmm. Again, like I'm not gonna put the National Space Council, you know, in charge of this stuff, which theoretically they are, but and I'm not going to do that. I'll put someone like Elon Musk on there, you know.
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
All right, man. That was intense.
GG.
That was great. I loved it.
But yeah, does anybody have anything else to add? Anything? Nothing? We good?
Definitely, if y'all are like listening and watching and stuff, like leave a comment, and I think it's still on my Facebook. Like, leave a comment on there, like, what do you think? You know, let's get some more feedback going. You know, like, go onto our Twitter and say what you want about it. You know, like, what's y'all's opinion? Like, do y'all like stuff like this? You know, do you think NASA could handle it better? Do you think NASA is better? You know, like, what's your thoughts and opinions on that stuff? So definitely go and we'll definitely try to reply back and stuff like that. So
GG.
Antonio, where you at?
We
haven't heard anything, but so Emily, thank you for joining us. Yeah. This has been awesome. You know, you're always welcomed here. So whenever you want to come by, just come on by.
Thank you very much.
But yeah, that's been another episode of the Thought Arcade. Thank you guys for listening. Again, be sure to share, subscribe, tell all your friends, family, tell your dog about us, you know?
Tell your dog.
Send us pictures of your dog. We love
that. That's actually a great idea. Yeah, let's do that.
Send your pictures of your dog. We'll post it up. But yeah, thank you guys for listening. It's been another episode of the Thought Arcade.
Bye.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave a positive review and follow us for future episodes. You can follow us on Twitter at ThoughtArcade1 and on Instagram at ThoughtArcade. Thank you for listening and go be great.